You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, Shireen.
Hello. What an episode we have for you listeners today.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so excited for you guys to hear from this person. They are the best. They are a Next Up Fellow. They have a podcast that's out now on iHeart, and their name is Dr. Jonathan Higgins, baby.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
There they are. Yes. Yeah, we talk all about John's upbringing, how they ended up on having an iHeart podcast, and I mean, it's an amazing conversation. Just stay tuned. You won't regret it.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Okay, this is the start of the podcast. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. I'm Shireen.
And I'm Anna. You know, we're here. We're living. Yeah. My living. AC's still on, which, my bad. Turn the fan off. Did not turn the AC off for some reason. It'll turn off, I think, in my heart.
Well, in your heart, like by itself?
In my heart, the AC will turn off.
Okay, well, hello. I don't really have that much update. I did have a really scary road rage thing happen to me today. Like, I haven't been that scared in a while. Like, someone got mad at me and, like, followed me and stopped in front of my car. And it's next to my, it's, like, in my neighborhood. So now I'm just scared. So if anything happens to me.
Was it one of those things where they cut you off aggressively, you honked,
yes,
and then they decided to take it out on you?
I didn't even honk at first. At first, he flipped me off. I flipped him off in response. I guess that was my mistake. And then, as we were driving in this two-lane road on Sunset, every lane I would go and he would stop right in front of me and like almost full stop. So I would go to the next one and he would follow in front of me and go to the next one. And that happened for like a block. And then I was like, fuck this. I'm not going to
like on a moving road. He would.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's.
And so like, great. I was like, fuck this. I'm not going to engage. So I turned around. There isn't a divider on this part in Sunset.
You didn't take a picture of this person's license plate?
I didn't think it was going to happen. This was going to happen. I thought it was just like, I don't even know the license plate.
That's why you
got
to go. You'll be like, oh, honey, I'll report your ass to DMV.
But I turn around thinking like, I'm not going to engage. This is over, whatever. And I wait a little bit because that's the only way I can get home. Like, that's the main road for me to get home. So I wait for a couple seconds. Then I continue on to Sunset being like, he's probably gone, whatever. He's waiting for me by the light. His car is pulled over past the light.
To keep torturing you?
With his emergency signal on or whatever whatever it's called. And I still haven't, like, taken his license. I don't have my glasses on. I'm thinking, like, this guy can't be serious. Like, maybe that's his destination, you know? Like, he's, like, picking up something. And as soon as my light turns green, he U-turns. So his driver's side is next to my driver's side. And he, like, makes, like, as if he's going to hit me, like, intimidate me. Like, he, like, puts his car right in front of mine and then, like, drives off and calls me a bitch or something. And then he turns around again, and I'm, like, so freaked out at this point. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I just, like, start weaving through the cars.
Well, now this person is clearly, this is harassment.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been that scared in a while, and I think he'll remember what I look like in my car more than I'll remember his, because, like, I was just frazzled. I didn't have my glasses on. I can see, but, like, I can't tell the letters on his license plate immediately. So this is long story short.
Well, first of all, I'm about to citizens arrest you for driving without your glasses. Are you out of your mind?
I can see. It's not like I can't see. It's just, like, I can't tell what his face looks like, or I don't know. It doesn't matter.
First of all, always. Yes. Okay, our guest, chatted, girl put a bat in your trunk. You might need to at this point, because that's terrifying.
I'm really not happy that it happened in my neighborhood, because it's
that's terrifying. Was it a white guy?
I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
I'm mentioning it because
it was like white guy energy.
I only saw his hand, and it looked tan, but I don't know. I just saw the hand. I saw his arm flailing outside the window.
This person, you know what I've always wanted to do? You know those lights that, like, I don't know, like, detectives will pull? It's a very old movie trope, where they would take those lights and put it on top of their car as if, like, gotcha!
Here I come!
I wish we could do that to like, catch people up. Not literally, like, we're a cop, but just to be like, you think I'm a cop?
I don't know. No, I agree.
I mean, and then ACAP would refer to us because we were pretending to be cops to freak people out who are clearly trying to intimidate us with their road rage.
No, you're right.
Because that person would have been like, ooh, is that a cop? I'm out of here.
I mean, maybe, I think if that person had a gun, he would have shot at me. That's how mad I thought he was. And that's how freaked out I was. But I'm only bringing it up to say, like, if anything happens to me, look for whatever that guy is.
For someone to be like, I'm on my way somewhere, but no. Let me just take a few minutes out of my drive in LA traffic, which is nonsense. You know they had somewhere to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you're right.
But to be like, no, I have 5 minutes to spare to terrorize a young woman because she flipped me off after I flipped her
off. I haven't been this scared in a while.
No, people are nuts out here.
I haven't. And then I only started honking after he started to do that, like, stopping in front of me thing. Then I started honking because I was like, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
That got him really mad. But, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't, whatever. I don't want our guests to
ram the back of his car and then drag him out of his car, put him in your trunk.
Okay, let's stop there. I want to bring in our guest before we get carried away. Let's bring in our guest.
I think we got carried away.
Well, I'm sorry. That was my fault. Anna, do you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, our guest, our prestigious guest. How do I even explain this person? Describe this person, if you will. They are one of my Next Up fellows. I met this person, I believe they knew my co-founder, Joelle, previous to this. Yes, I think I do know that for a fact. I believe they knew. These are the facts that I believe. They went through the program. They were a goddamn delight to have in this program. I would say that they were a bright light in a dark world, if you will. Oh, truly, like, every meeting, they brought in the energy, they brought in the joy, and they were just a nice person. You know, something you just think would like to interact with a nice person. And I think they also really uplifted the other fellow. So I'm, like, really glad that their show is now dropping on iHeart, which is, I think now, because this will drop this episode as a recording, I think technically their trailer did drop today. So their trailer is out, but also their first episode should be out by the time this episode drops. So, I mean, obviously, what are you doing? Still listening to this? I'm just joking. Listen to this, then go listen to theirs. But show is Black Fat Femme, BFF. And we are joined today by Dr. Jonathan Higgins. Welcome.
Yay!
Yes. Dr. John is in the house.
Insert clap, 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 clap. So I, yes, was putting a whole bunch of stuff in the chat. Let me go ahead and ride in your passenger seat next time, because I guarantee yeah. you won't do it. I guarantee he won't try it.
Please. I don't want to be alone. I'm scared.
No, I get it. Yes. And that is why this world is garbage. But welcome. I'm just happy to be here. I say welcome like it's my show. It's not my
welcome.
Show. I'm like, hello. I should say hi.
We trained you well.
Right. Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here.
Of course. It's a pleasure. I'm excited to get to know you a little better. Anna has only said nice things, which is rare.
Oh, I am the messiest bitch.
Yes. And we live to see it. We love, you know what? We all are a little messy. We all have. So, you know what? I think we all are. We're those people. You know how people randomly will be like, oh, yeah, I'm coming over. And then you just randomly start throwing a whole bunch of stuff in your closet mm-hmm. because you don't want people to think your home is a mess. That's who we all are.
Yeah.
We are the people who throw things in the closet. And I'm sure as soon as you open the door, everything falls out. So, yes, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I'm the person who throws everything in a drawer and then the drawer won't close. And I'm like, this is not ideal.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's hope they don't notice it's kind of open.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I have a question for you, Jonathan. Yeah. Do you prefer John, Jonathan?
I go by John, but at this point you can just call me. But yeah, John.
John.
They go by Dr. Jonathan. Could you imagine call me by my full name.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. But yeah.
I am curious. Like, we'll rewind in a minute, but like what, since we already started talking about it, what got you interested in Next Step and like how'd you even find the program?
Wow. So interestingly enough, I only learned about Next Up like a week before the application was due. I was perusing social media like I always do, probably doom scrolling like everyone else. And I had saw Joelle post about it. And I just was like, oh, bet. I was like, if Joelle is vetting this, then obviously it means that obviously they're, you know, serious about it or they like something about it. And I'm one of those people that I'm one of those people that if I see something and even if like in the first two or three sentences, it speaks to me in some type of way, I'm going to apply, especially if it's free. And so that was kind of what I wanted to do. I was like, well, it's iHeartRadio. It's iHeartPodcast. Like, you know, I know Joelle works for them. I should just apply. And then when I started going through the application, I just was like, oh, snap. They really want like a full developed like idea, and I didn't have really anything in mind. I had been doing a podcast with I would say I'm being very intentional about not calling people friends. I had been doing something with an associate a couple of years prior that was on a mic, and it never really went anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, I just was kind of like, I want to do something that's a little bit bigger. And so when I was talking to Joelle about it, you know, she basically was like, "Well, do you have anything like on your mind that you know you feel passionate about?" And I just was like, "I wish there was more Black fat." Femme people out there talking about their like the joy and the happiness that they have. And so she was like, pitch that. And I was like, bet. So I did. And you know, like Drake said, now we're here.
Oh
yeah.
I mean, which is interesting you say. I did not realize that you did not have that idea previously, because when I feel like when we met you in our meeting, our initial Zoom meeting thing that we did, it felt like you had that idea kind of brewing.
No, I did not, girl. I am the king of you know, they say fake it till you make it. Girl, I was in that meeting just giving y'all what I know I'm good at. I was giving you a spiel. I had no clue what I was wanting to do. So, yeah.
Well, how did you land on what you wanted to do?
You know, Anna kind of picked it for me.
Oh.
In the meeting, you know, we had to pitch two different ideas. I had told them one idea was, I don't think, if, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that I initially led with Black Fat Femme. I led with initially the first pitch that I had, which was ultimately about, I'm really big on just how awesome it is to be Black and to grow up in the hood. I grew up in, for those of you who are listening, I grew up in San Bernardino. I actually grew up between Compton and San Bernardino in Southern California. And the whole podcast, the first idea that I had was of like bringing people in who are from SoCal or who are familiar with it. And really just kind of a love letter to the hood in a way. Because again, that's just something I'm really passionate about. It's not forgetting where I come from. And, you know, they were like, okay, that's cute. What's your second one? And then I kind of got onto this idea about, you know, being Black, fat, and femme, and really just feeling like anytime I turn on a show or a podcast or anything, it's always like Black, you know, or queer or Black and queer, but it was never any conversation about what it's like to look like me or to be someone like myself. And so that was kind of what I led with. And Yesenia, I could just see it in her face. Yesenia is another person who was a part of the program that interviewed me. They were like, that's dope. And it just was like, I was like, oh, okay. So maybe I just sold that idea to them. And then when I initially got the offer or when I got the email saying that I was in the program, you know, they wanted to really develop, you know, BFF. And I'm very happy because I love what the show stands for now. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's fine. I'm sorry, I don't remember the first pitch at all, which maybe is why I probably narrowed down. I also think when I looked at everyone's applications, I already kind of had a sense of what I thought would be the project. Right. But you never really know until you meet the person, you know, because mm-hmm. I could have thought one thing and then met you and been like, no, actually, maybe you should do this first idea. So, but I think also, that idea in itself, like even just exploring identity, has always been very interesting to me. So I think I was immediately drawn to that. I mean, that's like why we have this show, which is like you're constantly, you know, you grow up in a world where you're like, why does no one relate to me? Why do people try and other me? Like, why is everyone so up in my business about what my you know, like, it's like you always feel like people are being like, what are you? What's your deal? And you're like, well, why do I have to explain myself? Why can't I just be?
Yeah,
you know?
I get that a lot, especially as someone who's openly non-binary now. I you know, being someone who loves a good eloquy look or very much has spent a lot of money in what is that damn store in the mall? Torrid. I spent a lot of money in Torrid. Baby, if any of y'all don't know, Torrid is expensive.
Oh,
and
is
I don't
it?
Know why it's expensive. Yes, it is very expensive.
I feel like when I shop, I only went there when I was in like high school. It's been a while.
It is expensive.
It's gone up.
Yes, very much so. Actually, a lot more expensive than some other big girl places. But anyway, dancing with that idea, I get a lot of people not knowing how to, like, respond to me, per se. Like, even one of my students, and I've caught that he now calls me professor because I think he struggles with the they, them. I don't think that he has fully envisioned or fully understand what it means to be non-binary. And I don't want to say this to be very dismissive, but I think that sometimes being non-binary to some folks is a very big concept that folks just can't seem to comprehend. And so I can tell when he interacts with me that he doesn't know what to do with me. I mean, from my nails to my heels to my dresses or to my clothes sometimes, it's very off-putting to them. So I think it's very much that idea. But yeah, I get it wholeheartedly, very much so.
You know, it is interesting. I've had this conversation with my dad a lot, who's a Persian immigrant, who's just like, I don't remember like what the pronouns of this person is. And I'm like, well, and you know, my dad is just old, kind of, you know, lush, if you will, loves his wine, is like just, and then he just can't like, you know, like your student like can't process like, well, what am I, how am I, you know, like he can't perceive a person if they're like not in his concept of binary. And, you know, like he doesn't understand. And I'm like, it doesn't really like, it's not, you don't need to force yourself to understand. You just need to try and respect and like try to nail their pronouns. Like, you don't have to sit there and be like, I get you.
Yeah,
no, I don't, you have to just try to hear them when they say, please, you know, I go by this, them, or I go by he, I go by he, I go by he, him, or she, her. Like, you just have to listen to that and then just try to use the pronouns. If you just go like, well, I don't understand, so I can't try, that's the problem.
Right.
Because you're just shutting off to it.
Yeah. And I do understand that people have trouble. I mean, like, Spanish and Arabic, and I'm sure most, if not, like, the majority of languages, they're very gendered. You know what I mean? Like, in Arabic and Spanish, for example, an object is different if it belongs to a man or a woman. Like, it's like the word for everything is different, for depending on what you're doing, and actions and everything. So And I get that that's confusing. Like, I was taught Arabic first. In my mind, sometimes it's really gendered. But I think my approach, and Anna's right, like, you don't have to understand it. You just have to understand. The only thing you have to understand is that this person will be more comfortable if you
make an effort.
You respect who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I want to live in a world, I'm trying to make my default they, them, because I also am non-binary, but I also just, like, get really... I'm just overwhelmed by even trying to put myself anywhere. So I feel like if we can just establish one, I don't like any of the boxes. I just want all of us to exist. I just want to exist as a being. I don't think we have to differentiate. I think we're all on a spectrum of so many things. So I'm trying to make my default when I even meet people, they, them, because when I meet people, I don't assume they're straight. You know, yeah, so like, why would I assume they are cis? So,
yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
And we can also just leave people alone. I think that's the thing
exactly.
that I really, even in my trailer, I talk about that, like, minding your business that pays you is such a very easy task. Yeah. And I've been places where I've had people say things about other people. And I'm like, you know, you can just not say anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is so easy for you to just go and leave people alone. Like, it just takes, and for me, I think the thing is that this pandemic has worn on my mental health in so many different ways. I don't have the energy to to try to figure out other people's lives. Like, I don't care if you're non-binary. I don't care if you're trans, queer. I don't care if you're an alien. Just leave me alone. Like, lovingly, I say this of, like, not even in a way of, like, being dismissive, but in the sense of, like, if you don't have anything good to say or if you're not bringing me joy, just go about your day. Like, just leave me alone, please. That's it. You know, it's really easy to do.
That is, like, a huge thing. We're in this country where we live, and it's so, like, it's about everyone else at all times. And it's like, what do you fucking care what a trans person does at the doctor?
Right, right.
Or abortion or something. Yeah. That
or like what a woman wants to do.
Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. And
it really boggles my mind. It boggles my mind. What, I can't imagine being so invested in something that has no effect on me. Like,
that's it. That's it. I don't have
I don't even understand sports for that reason. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't care. And that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to sit down. Like, I hear people all the time talking about, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear? No, I didn't. Because you know why? I've spent 8 hours today just trying to survive. I've tried my best to, like, hell, I even, for, you know, like today I've been like eating like a rabbit because I've been so busy. Like, I just don't, I just really wish people would stop being so concerned about what other people are doing. But I also think it's a, and again, this is where I'm going to go off on my social justice tangent. I think for me, I think a big part of it is the power dynamic, right? So you have multiple years of slave owners and people who are in positions of power that quote unquote can tell you what you can and can't do. Now that there's all these elements of freedom, right, there's still that slave mentality of I control you. I control the system that you live in. So that gives me the parameter or the responsibility to say what's law. And sometimes you just have to tell white people, mind your business, like mind your white ass business. Because and I've had to literally say that to people, no shade, but please mind your white ass business. What's happening over here in this black circle has nothing to do with you. And I think that that's the thing that really burns people is that a lot of us have that mentality of we don't have to answer to quote unquote this power structures. And that burns a lot of people. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, I saw this tweet. Well, I saw two things. The first thing I'm going to mention is that's something I think is funny. It's how even like well-intentioned people will also get like kind of in the way. Like, for example, I saw this tweet where someone was confused because they thought the A in LGBTQIA was for ally. And it's like, no, this has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? Like, this also has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean?
It includes me.
It's like, ally. No, it's for asexual, it's for sexuality. Like, why would you ever, like, that's how that's much really you think. Funny. It blew my mind.
Well, I am in the LGBT community because I am an ally.
Like, it's like, genuinely, this is not your fight. Like, insert yourself somewhere where it actually makes a difference, like a protest or like defending someone or something. Like, I just, it really is hilarious to me the way
people.
Or
in HR where I'm not getting hired. Yes, like, insert yourself somewhere.
Exactly. Important. Like, give me your job. And, don't be in the acronym. Give me your job. And the other thing I think is interesting is that it's not race related at all, but it was this like commentary about like the further you are in, like, for lack of a better word, like your healing journey or like your individuation or just like growing up and understanding yourself, the less you care about things that are really silly. And I think that's why the majority of people are kind of like stunted and care about all these really stupid things, whether it's like bigoted people or just, I don't know, just other like troubled people. It's because like they haven't realized that life is just not about that. Like, right. I can't engage in so many things anymore because I just don't have the energy and it doesn't serve me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think people are up there yet. Not to say like I'm above everybody. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't think people are ready to move on.
No, I think it's so. I actually think yes, but I also think a lot of it too is this notion of deflection, right? If I can focus on Anna, if I can focus on, you know, Shireen, if I can focus on anybody else, right, and everyone else, then that means that I don't have to do my work. I don't have to do what I need to do to heal. I don't have to do what I need to do to absolve myself of all of the things that I'm, you know, pretty much, I don't have to account. Or I don't have to be held accountable for all of the ways that I'm creating more problems for other people. And that's something that I've genuinely had to like learn even through me. Like I spent so much time being so mad at like family or friends or people around me or coworkers, whatever, until my therapist was like, girl, when are you going to work on you? Like you spend so much time at these meetings arguing and going being mad about someone else, but I'm not hearing any conversation about you doing the work on you. And I was like, ooh. Well, drag me then, you know? And so I think that that's really what it comes down to is that people who usually have nothing to say about other people are so wrapped up in really just kind of doing their own thing and doing the stuff that they need to do to become better people. And that's what I'm invested in. I genuinely am invested in how do I make myself a better person? So that way the people who interact with me, the people who see me, whether it be on social or not, whether it be in front of a camera or not, they genuinely can say, I love John because John is a genuinely good person versus it being performative or it being, you know, again, a lot of messy people. Wendy Williams, no shade to her. I like Wendy Williams. She's that very much terrible auntie that we all know in our family. But I think about her a lot when I talk about this notion of like her whole life is a mess because she spends a whole bunch of time being so into other people's life being a mess. And so it's like when you really look at her, it's like, ooh, girl, you literally are just deflecting. You really are, you know, whether it be funny or entertaining or not. But that's how I see it. So,
no, I 100% agree with you. Like, you distract yourself with other people's problems because you're not ready to confront your own. You know, like, it's that's the truth. Before we move on, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers, she wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And we're back with Dr. John.
Hey. Dr. John.
I want to ask you about your upbringing a little. So you said you're around San Bernardino, kind of South LA. So yeah. where were you born and where were you, I mean, if you want to name cities outside of counties, where else were you raised?
Yeah, so funny story. I grew up kind of a little bit of everywhere. I wouldn't call my mom. So my family, so this is the thing. I actually was born in Dominguez Hills, which is, for a lot of people who know, is very much adjacent to Carson. It's very adjacent to, like, Compton, that whole little circle of area. But I was born in Dominguez Hills Hospital. That hospital no longer exists. Dominguez Hills barely exists. And then right around that time, my parents kind of started, things got rocky between my mother and my father. Obviously, they divorced. My father fled for the hills. Really don't know him, don't really know much about him, but I was very close to his side of the family, interestingly enough. And I genuinely believe, and my mom would probably say I'm lying, but I definitely believe this to be true. I believe that my mom was very much into my uncle more than she was my father. And that's why we were so connected to the family. However, I also believe, God, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for saying this. I believe my uncle is of the gays, and he would never admit it. But that was the reason why I don't think him and my mom ever really worked out. And the woman that he is married to now, I'm not going to name her because I don't like her. I'm rambling. Anyway, long story short, I knew my dad's side of the family, even though I didn't know my father that well. And then ultimately, my mom said, oh, LA is becoming bad. This was right around the time of, like, Rodney King, all of the stuff that was happening in 91, 92. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the IE was kind of like this, oh, come to the IE where it's a lot cheaper and it's less crime and blah, blah,
and
blah.
And IE is Inland Empire.
Inland Empire, yeah. So the IE is the Inland Empire. For those of you who have no idea, because there are a lot of people in LA like, where is the Inland Empire? Because you never go past the 710. Literally, the Inland Empire is right after the 605. So you start thinking West Covina, you're thinking Walnut, you're thinking Pomona, all of that. That's basically where I grew up. Lived in Moreno Valley for some time, which is also still IE. Then we settled in San Bernardino. And I will genuinely say my life was good, but my life was also very, very hard. In the sense that, one, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. Terrible. 0 out of 10. Would not recommend. I also grew up in a single parent household where my mom was struggling a lot to raise two black children in an area that was slowly but surely becoming really bad and was very, 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 very populated by gun violence. For those of you who may not know, kind of the same way that the media paints LA around gun violence and black issues in the early 90s, the same stuff was happening in the IE. You know, a lot of gang rivalry. My uncle was a very well-known drug lord in the area on my mom's side. And so I saw a lot of stuff I probably shouldn't have saw and touched a lot of stuff I probably shouldn't have touched. But I say all that to say it was just a very much kind of like, growing up, it was like, how do you make it out of a world or an area where no one believes in you? Like, yeah. That was literally how I felt my whole life. I felt like no one ever believed that I'd become who I am now, right? Like, I'm Dr. John Paul, and a lot of people thought that, and they're very excited. But when I was 15, I never thought that I'd ever be where I am now, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a testament to who you are.
Yeah.
And also to your mother, who, like, stuck it out and was like,
oh, yeah,
I'm going to do my best to make sure my children have what they need.
Yeah. And my mom is, I've gone through waves with my mom. I mean, for anybody who's black listening to this, black parents are very interesting. And I'm sure y'all can attest to being from marginalized or, you know, what's the word I want to, minoritized is the word I'm starting to move towards, from minoritized backgrounds. You know, our parents, they do the best that they can because that's really all that they know. And oftentimes they don't know what to do. And so my mom was in that place of like, I'm doing the best that I can with what I have. Give me a break. And I resented her for a lot of time, especially in college. When I got to college, you know, I had friends with BMWs. I had friends who, you know, oh, my parents pay for my college. And my ass was working like 50, 60 hours at Starbucks and was an RA and was involved with like anything and everything where I could get free food, right? I genuinely went through college feeling like, you know, I hate my mom for putting me in this situation. And then when I got to, I think it was probably my first or second year of my doctoral program, because I did my master's and was working full time and life was seemingly okay. I started therapy. And when I literally started doing therapy, me learning or me having to acknowledge and forgive my mom, but more having to forgive me for the way I felt about my mom in my life. Like, I literally got to a place where I was like, my mom was just doing the best that she could. Yeah. Like, she literally, that's all she could do. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that sentiment. I struggled with my dad for years before we, to where we are now, which is like, we've come such a long way, because I used to legitimately hate my dad. I used to be like, this guy is so mean. He doesn't give a shit about what I want. He just is like in his own world. And he's so strict. I mean, a lot of it, like growing up, I just felt like he didn't hear me or see me as a person. Yeah. And you're just like, what am I doing with this? Like, why is this person even like, you know, you, the whole time you want to be like, well, then get rid of me. You know, you're like, have all these emotions, all this anger and stuff that you don't know how to process because you're a child. You don't know how to be like, mother, father, it's time I attend therapy because I'm starting to grow a lot of resentment towards you. Yeah, you know, like you have no way to be
I remember,
like,
baby, the way I, so I always say I had the way I cussed my mom out in that car. When I was probably, I think it was 29 or 30. I had just hit 30. And I was literally, I remember exactly where I was. I remember what time of day it was. It was just me having to be like, wow. Like, I didn't realize in that moment after I got off the phone with her, it was like, wow, you have a lot of pent up anger towards her that you need to work through. And then, like I said, through therapy, I learned it wasn't really just her. It was me not being, me having all of these experiences.
Yeah.
You know, again, from an intersectional lens of being angry at life. And she just on that day caught the brunt of it, and me having to call her and apologize and mend my relationship with her, because at that time we were not on good terms. And now we're like BFFs. I literally, like, I just called her last night and was like, hey, I'm coming down on the 22nd to see you. Like, my mom is literally my best friend now, and I'm just so grateful that I got the good one out of the bunch. So
That's so beautiful.
You came full circle.
It's beautiful to have that relationship.
We really have. I send her Coach stuff. My mom is a typical Black lady. She loves Coach. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it just, like, one of the ingredients to making Black women is loving Coach, but they do. And so I send my mom Coach stuff all the time, and she gets so excited. So
that's nice.
That's great. I think the most significant and like real relationships are ones that can withstand like the worst parts of both of you or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. That's how I feel about my own drama with my family. But yeah, I'm glad that it's come to the point where she's your best friend, because like, I'm obsessed with my parents now. I'm not like, I just,
same.
I've accepted that they tried their best and it wasn't perfect. I still have a lot of issues, but that they're my issues now. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't always push it on them. I can pinpoint areas where it made it worse, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm really grateful that I have the luxury of having my parents around and be loving. And so I just want to hold on to that as much as possible.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, like, I think taking a part of that is like taking that step back and like looking at what the situation is like. And it takes a while for us to get there, to be like, I really had so much anger towards my dad until I started to actually get to know my dad as just like a father figure. It's like, oh no, like, the guy lived a whole damn life before I was born.
Yeah.
The guy had his own issues with his own parents.
Right.
Like, all this shit went down. Yeah. The guy is just like, you know, and then I had to really be like, oh, like, you, like I said, like, you did your best based given with the tools that were given to you by your own situation. And you right. were an immigrant in this country and you were just like, you know, and a lot of that is like talking to my uncle, talking to my aunts, talking to my cousins who like watched my dad grow up. And right. like my uncle gave me so much insight. Literally the day my uncle was like, girl, I get it. And I was like, oh my God, you get it? And he's like, yeah, I get it. And I was like, oh, no one had ever said that to me. Because in Persian culture, everyone's like, respect your father. He's your father. Respect him. And I'm like, even if he's a dick, it's hard. It's really hard.
But no, it's the same way with black people, too. It's the same way in black culture. You don't get space. You know, it's I'm an adult. You're a child. You listen to what I say. And exactly. I was that kid that constantly was like, but what you're saying is bullshit. Exactly. And so, like, I was that kid that was forever in the corner because I always challenged my mom, my uncles, my grandparents. Like, my grandfather went out of this world. Rest in peace, you know, Grandpa Tolles. He went out of this world being like, you are never going to change. And I was like, nope. Because I was that grandkid that, you know, I poked holes in all of the ideologies that my family had. And, you know, a lot of them are rooted in just black upbringing of, you know, this is what I mean. What I say, you know, especially in the hood too. Like, and I say the hood lovingly in the sense of like, my grandfather also was raised in Compton, my mom being raised in Compton. Like, you know, they were just hard. Like they're literally very hard people. And when I say hard, I'm sure you probably all know what I mean by that. They're just loving, you know, yeah, my mom said that she loved me. Yeah, my mom gave me hugs and kisses. But it was like, I mean, oh God, I don't even really know how to just explain it. It was just, they were very, very rough people around the edges.
Literally how my uncle described my dad to me.
Yeah.
He's like, since our parents died, he's been hard. He's been a stone cold man. And it's because he feels like he has to compensate for the fact, because his parents died young. So he's like, he feels like he had to he had to step up and compensate. And that made him a hard man. And I was like, see, this is the context I need to know. It helps that understanding adds to you being able to kind of take a step back and be like, okay, you know, like, this is the situation and I do really need to examine like their lives and why they are the way they are. And it does. Yeah. Once you can get past that, which like, I feel like I've gotten past that with my dad and I can actually just like hang out. And when he does say something sometimes where I'm like, you've come such a long way. Don't regret it, you know, for him to be like, but now he listens to me. You know, like, well, I'll be like, oh, don't actually say that word that's actually now considered racist or something like that. You say, like, oh, we don't say that anymore. And he's like, oh, we don't? Okay.
Yeah, but you're
like,
that's my
like,
mom.
You're starting to see that they're making that progress because you're finally on a level where there's a like a mutual respect and not so much of like a, you're the kid. It's like all of a sudden you're getting to that point where you can be like, we're talking openly. We can have a conversation and you're also not pushing back because times are kind of changing. And I do think like when you have children like us who are progressive, they start to be like, oh, well, but like John's a good person. So why would I want to question what John's saying? Like my child sends me coach, you know, like you're like, this person cares about me.
I'm like, I'm also paying for your dinner. So
know, and there's no like animosity anymore, so they can actually listen to you versus feeling like you're attacking me,
right?
Because you're a teen or whatever. So I think, you know, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating. I think.
I just want to throw this out too that I thought was really cool. My mom called me. This was a couple weeks ago, my mom has this habit of just randomly calling me out of the blue, especially in the worst time. I'm surprised she hasn't called me now. She's a teacher and she's off for the summer, but ultimately, sometimes my mom would just randomly call me. And a couple of months ago, she called me and she just was like, "Babe, I have a question." And I was like, "Yeah, mom, what's going on?" She was like, "Pronouns, they, them, those are your pronouns, right?" And I was like, "Oh." Yes. She was like, okay, I just want to make sure when I'm talking to my friends, I get it right. All right. Okay. I love you. Bye. And it was just kind of this weird moment of me being like, oh my God, my mom has come so far.
Yeah.
Like she's the coolest lady that I've ever met. Like she's just, you know, or my mom, we've been places. My mom lives in Vegas. We'll be out and we'll see a trans person and she'll go, all right now, you know, and it's very much like, whereas when I was growing up, my mom would have probably said something really mean. Yeah. Now my mom is like, I see them and I respect them. and, you know, I'm trying, you know, yeah. I'm really yeah. trying to be a better person. So I love Edwina, and shout out to her. I'm sure she'll probably poke into this because my mom literally listens and follows me wherever I go. But I love her.
Hello. We love you. Hello.
Yeah. She's such a great lady.
Thank you for raising such an incredible person.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah,
she really is a great lady. So.
That's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she called you randomly. Like that would have made me cry. That would have made me actually
the casualness of it. Yeah. They them. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Just double checking.
She falters. You know, my mom has a very loving relationship with the R word, and I'm having to get her out of that. But it's one of those things because, again, her age and the time that we've come up in, you know, was a very, I would say, people born in the 60s and the 70s, you know, again, what they know is what they know. And it's very hard to get them to understand, okay, now we're in 2022. And what was okay to say in 1992 is not okay to say in 2022.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll make sure you know. But yeah, my mom is, outside of her and her little faults, you know, she's a pretty dope lady. So.
Yeah. Shout out to moms.
Well, that's the thing. Just got to try. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even going back to what you were saying earlier about yourself and ourselves, it's like you want to continue life just trying to be better, you know? And so when you see your parents or your loved ones trying to do the same thing, it's like, that's all you can ask for, right? It's just, that's all there is. Let's take our second break, and we'll be right back, talk more to Dr. John.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And we're back. I have a question. So you're growing up. You don't really feel like you can accomplish what you want to accomplish. You were saying, like, no, you didn't feel like anyone believed in you when you were, like, a teenager. What did you think you wanted to do? Like, what were your aspirations, if you had any, as far as, like, who you saw yourself to be?
Yeah, funny. I came up, so, and maybe I feel I don't want to ask. I think it's always rude to ask people how old they are. But I came up, I'll say, generation of 2000s raised me. So I was a 2000s teenager. 99 to 2001 where it was a very pivotal and very interesting part of my life, because this was a time that media was becoming so much bigger than what, and I'm sure you all probably felt that, right? You know, you had the MTV. I call it the MTV generation. I was basically raised mm-hmm. by TRL. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm seeing all these celebrities, you know, they're making a lot of money. And, you know, basically, you know, every day I'm coming home thinking I want to be rich. You know, I'm tired of being poor. I'm tired of, you know, people laughing at me at school because of my clothes, because of, you know, where I live. Like, I just want to, I want a better life for myself. And I'm thinking this to myself. And in certain ways, you know, I had just started working. And so I'm taking all of my, so funny, I'm taking all of the money that I'm making while I'm working at Shakey's, and I'm putting it into like buying Hollister and buying Abercrombie, because I want people to stop teasing me at school about the way I look. And it just, it became a lot of like, I was basically just in my mind of like, I'm going to do whatever I can to never have to ever be in this place. And I would always say that, you know, my mom would always tell me, you know, college is going to be good for you. It's going to help you, you know, but ultimately I don't want you having, my mom, a lot of the times that stuff would happen in our lives, the conversation / the retort my mom would give is, I don't want you making the same mistakes I did. And I never really understood what that meant until I got older. And now at 37, I have real conversations with my mom about what she meant when she said that. But even down to like my mom being on me when I was in college about my credit, like my mom didn't really understand credit and she had terrible credit growing up. You know, now I have really good credit and it's like, oh shit, like now I understand why she was so adamant on me not messing my credit up. But little stuff like that, right? Like my mom was just very adamant on, I want you to be in a better place than I was. You know, I don't want you having children and not being able to take care of them the way I want to take care of you and your brother. And it was really hard because on the other flip of the coin, my cousins were very well off. Like my uncle, so my uncle, when Kraft took off in the early 70s and 80s, my uncle was a part of that takeoff. So my uncle's fortune is basically Kraft Foods. Everything that you know to be Kraft Foods, my uncle is behind. And it's a weird dynamic to know that your family, like same thing with my grandfather. My grandfather is part of, I wouldn't say he's a founder, but he's a part of the GMC fortune. So anything and everything that you know about GMC, my grandfather was behind. And I don't tell people that often because I don't want to come across as, what's that movie, Romeo and Michelle, where she's like, my father made the Post-its. Yeah. Like, I don't really know how true any of this is, but I just know based off of my family legacy and the way my parents talk about my family. You know, I know my uncle has something to do with Kraft. I know that my grandfather had something to do with GMC, and they both had a lot of effing money. Yeah. And so my mom not being rich, it was always very odd being around my cousins because they had everything. They had nice cars, mm-hmm. especially in college. When we got to college, you know, my cousin, right around the time that the new, oh God, I was so jealous. I don't know if you all remember when they released, what are those Scions? My cousin had got a brand new Scion. My uncle bought him one for college. And I was so jealous because I was driving like a 1991 Mazda Protege. And it was just like the disparity between my cousin's life and how much money my uncle was pouring into them, you know, when they went off to college versus me. Like trying to just stay above water. It was so hard. It was so effing hard. And I always tell this story to people because it's such a funny story. So my 91 Mazda, someone hit me and I had to take my financial aid money to buy another car because I had to get to work. And so I bought a 92 Honda Civic. And I'll never forget this story. And I think that's why I'm so happy. Y'all are trying to get me emotional. I think I'm just so happy to be where I am now. I remember it started snowing. My mom lived in Victorville at the time. And if you all know Victorville, coming down the pass, it is very much very temperamental. And I just remember driving down the pass and not having any heat in my car. I was so cold that I literally wanted to cry because I was like, I hate this. Like, I hate not being able to have a car with like a heater in it. And then when it would rain, my car would flood. So bad. But it's like, now I look back and I'm like, I'm so thankful I had to go through all that. Yeah. Because, and again, I don't say this lightly, like, and again, I don't want to come across as if I'm bragging, but I'm like, I'm waiting on a brand new Lexus to be delivered to the lot for me to pick up next week. And it's just, it blows my mind that I've been able to kind of like manifest that in my life. And it has been hard. I'm not going to lie and say, I mean, Anna, we've had this conversation on end. Like, being a Black queer creator is fucking hard in this industry. But the fact that I am in a place financially where I'm teaching and I'm lecturing and I'm speaking and I'm, you know, people are throwing book deals at me and now I have iHeart. Like, all of that stuff has really helped me sit back and go, wow, look where you've come from and look where you are now. So it's just, it's a really cool, like, some days I wake up and I'm like, this shit is real cool. Like, I'm glad I went through that because it really taught me a lot about myself and what I want to do with my life and what I want to keep doing, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. And it's made you incredibly resilient.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you end up studying in college?
So I did communication. In undergrad, I actually started out as business and I could not pass the accounting classes. And so I was in a program for quote unquote I forget what they call it. It was called Upward. It was an Upward Bound that I was in. I don't know what I was in. But anyway, they were throwing money at me. And I met with my advisor. She was like, so your GPA is 1.9 and you have to have a 2.0 to stay in this program. So we're going to put you on probation. And yeah, basically, if you don't get a 2.0 next semester, we're going to have to let you go. And so I was like, oh, no. And so she told me to switch my major. She was like, you love to talk. That's probably part of the reason why you're failing in your classes. You should look into communication studies. And I was like, okay. And everyone was like, comm is so easy. Comm is so easy. Which I want to say is a... are we allowed to cuss? Is this a clean podcast?
Sure.
Okay. It's a fucking lie. It is a fucking lie. Communication studies is not easy. And a lot of people, they think just because you're doing like communications that it's like, oh, all you're doing is talking. And it's like, no, there are all these concepts and these ideas, especially when you actually pick a major in comm. I majored in public relations. And so public relations is writing. All you're doing is writing for most of it. And what that means is you're writing press releases, you're writing, like, for instance, something I'm doing right now. I'm so glad that I have a comm degree. I'm working on production notes for a film getting ready to come out. And a big part of PR is interviewing people, taking those interviews and literally making a story out of those interviews. And so that's basically what I'm doing now for Amazon. And with that being said, like, I was comm studies, did really well, graduated, didn't think that I was going to be good enough to go on to a master's. And then I initially just was like, you know what, screw it, I'll just do it. I jumped into my master's program over at University of Redlands. Shout out, that's where I teach now. Love that school so much. And then when I was getting ready to wrap up with my master's, I went back to get a second master's. And the teacher... at the second master's, I won't name the school because it was a terrible program. The teacher and my second master's basically pulled me to the side and she said, why are you here? And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, don't you already have a master's degree? And I was like, yeah. And she just was like, you're too smart to be here for a second master's. She was like, I'm not trying to tell you what to do with your life, but if I were you, I would apply to a doctoral program because I feel like you have what it takes. I had written a couple of papers for her in her class and she was just blown away at how I was able to kind of like put concepts together. And this was for, I forget, it was a student affairs program in higher ed, but specifically classes we had to take weren't related to student affairs. I think it was like a current affairs program or another. Long story short, I applied to Claremont and I applied to University of Redlands and I applied to a program down in San Diego. I got into all three of them. But U of R, when I graduated from U of R, because I graduated top two of my program, they offered me a scholarship. And so I took the scholarship and went back to U of R and did my doctoral program there. So I have a doctorate in educational leadership. And yeah, 263 pages later, I am a full-ass doctor, so.
Dr. John, how does that feel to, I don't know. I think it's so impressive to be doctor anything, but like, how does that make you feel to teach and to have that in your name?
It's, some days I forget it. No joke. Like, some days I forget, like, I'm a whole-ass doctor. Because you get into the monotony of just trying to survive. Like, I have a lot of friends who have doctorate degrees, and they're still struggling to find jobs, and, you know, nothing's really going the way that they want it to. And so sometimes I just kind of forget, because I'm like, I got to get this done, or I got to do that, or I got to do that. And then every once in a while, someone will refer to me as Dr. Higgins, and I'm like, oh, shit, I do have a doctorate degree. and so that's really cool. I think the other thing that's really cool about it is, I was one of two people in my program that was Black that finished. There were 12 of us, and only 4 of us were Black, and 2 of us actually finished. And so I think there's that element, too, of sometimes it's like, wow, I did something that I never thought I'd be able to do. And then Mohella sends me a bill, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I really am a doctor, because there's $200,000 worth of student loan debt that's there that I got to pay back. So, yeah.
That's a good reminder.
Once I see that bill, it comes all back to me now, a la Celine Dion. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
but it's a cool feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know you would enjoy teaching, or was that a surprise to you? Like, were you ever thinking about that for yourself?
Being a teacher? No. So to be honest, I started applying to be an adjunct teacher kind of out of necessity. So as you all may or may not know, in 2017, very publicly, I lost my job working in higher ed. That was kind of the goal, was I wanted to work. Initially, I was working towards being either a dean or an AVP in higher ed. And in 2017, basically, long story short, I was very vocal about the injustice that a lot of Black people were dealing with. And the students at the school where I was at ended up taking some of my tweets to the board, and they ultimately let me go because of that. And so, yeah, it actually happened. It's, if you Google it, you'll find it. And I'm technically not supposed to talk about it because I sued and won. But the bigger thing of the conversation is this was right after Trump was. Am I supposed to say that name? I'm probably not. It was right after the team. Okay. Thank you. Bleep it, please. It was right after that man. That's usually how I refer to him. That man. Right after that man got put in office, that student started coming after me about all the stuff I was tweeting that was social justice driven. And yeah, they came to me in 2018 and basically said, hey, girl, we have this job teaching. Are you interested? And I basically was like, y'all are going to give me $1,000 a week to teach this class? Please cut the check. And so I had to learn very quickly how to, like, technically teach college students, because I had never taught before. And now, you know, being almost, what, 5 years into it, I will say, like, this class that I have now, there are classes that I absolutely hate because of just, again, how certain students don't mesh with you, certain views that they have don't, you know, come across as your views. But this class that I have this semester, the students are absolutely fantastic, and they're just such great beacons of light. They're just so smart, and they're just so, like, I know they're going to be good teachers. And so seeing them go off into the world to be teachers, I teach a research course for those of you who want to know, and just seeing all the teachers in the program at my institution, they have to take the research class, and they either take me or someone else's, and just seeing how bright they are, it really makes me go, like, this is why I love teaching. When you see the lights go off, when you read their papers and you see that they're putting so much thought, because I make them choose social justice issues to do research on, so they can't get out of doing something that's socially conscious. And yeah, it's just, they're, I will say I've loved teaching more than I've hated it. So
that's awesome. I'm glad. I mean, I remember you telling me about the situation with you, because you were acknowledging racism.
Yeah.
which is, God, American can go fuck itself sometimes.
Yeah, I hate it here.
The nerve.
I kid you not.
Does Black person acknowledge racism? They are out of control.
It's, yes.
Like, what?
And the thing is I always tell people, the more education you have, the more likely people are going to come after you, because they don't like the idea that you are at the same level that they are. And so that was really what it came down to, is I'm a Black, fat, queer person who has 3 degrees, who has a following on social media of people saying, yes, go off, girl. Yeah. We need to silence them, right? Like, that was literally what it came down to, was the conversation was, you're too Black, you're too loud, you're too Black, you're too fat, you're too queer, you're too loud. And when I left that room, I told them, I said, I literally kid you not, this is what I said to the person who signed my document for me to leave. I said, you just made it was literally, it felt like, well, who was it? Was it, I mean, like, you made a big mistake. Was that from that movie with Julia Roberts? You made a big mistake. Huge. That's literally what it felt like. It felt like Pretty Woman, right? Like I was telling them, like,
oh, yeah.
You just made the biggest fucking mistake by letting me go, because my name is going to be in everyone's mouth. And from that point on, I literally was like dead set on being like, y'all are not going to be able to get away from me. And it's that's what it's become. Now I have a podcast. I have a book deal. Now, you know, I teach. Like, I'm everywhere. And I've had for even Netflix. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to name it, but I did Nailed It on Netflix. And so, like, it's just so funny because it's like, now you can't get away from me. Now you really can't. And
that's the best revenge.
You can't turn me off. You can't.
No.
So,
No.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that for you. I really do. Before we completely go on our merry ways, tell us a bit about your podcast. Because Anna, you said it would already be out by the time this episode comes out.
It's out now.
Yeah, the trailer went live today.
But I think episode one will be out by now.
No, we launched July 12th.
Yeah, so it'll be out. So this will drop.
When this episode is out, you're saying?
Yes, because this episode will drop a few days after. So it's out. Episode one is out. Trailer and episode one are out. So what are you waiting for?
Yeah, you really do need to get over and listen to it. I will say, you know, I try to be humble. I tend to like humble brag a lot, but I have genuinely said like this podcast is the shit, in the sense of like I'm one, not only getting to like hang out with somebody I'm really good friends with. So I actually met my co-host when I was an educator at an institution that I also will not name because it was terrible. I worked at a lot of terrible places, if you all have not picked up. And if you are thinking about going into higher education, don't. And we'll talk about that on the podcast. But I say all of this to say I met this person there. We became really good friends. And when all of the stuff kind of went down, I was just kind of like, well, I'm not an educator anymore. So we can actually be friends and, you know, it won't be problematic. And so it just kind of me and him getting together and just really thinking about what we're going to talk about. And we have amazing guests. We have a lot of conversations about what it's like to live at the intersections of who we are, Black, fat, femme people, obviously. But really what's so exciting is that we have a segment called What's on Your Plate. And it's really talking about like food and the love that we have. Each week we're coming to the mic talking about like what food gives us joy or what's something we've eaten, you know, that we thought was like really good. What are the places we want to stay away from in terms of food? Like, and that ultimately came from my love of donuts. If you know me, you will know that donuts are literally what is kryptonite to Superman is donuts to me. There are only five good donut places in this area. So in ranking order, you see me get ready. Oh, yes.
Please,
This is my lane. Ranking order. Number five would be Krispy Kreme's. Mm-hmm. Number four would probably be Randy's.
Okay.
Number three would be this place called the Donut Bar. The Donut Bar is actually quite popular around here. Number two would probably be just like a random mom and pop shop over here. Mm-hmm. It's called, what is the name of that donut shop? I can see the name of it, but I can't say it anyway, because I don't want to tell people where I live. But anyway, there's this really good mom and pop donut shop here out in the IE. If you're interested, and if you're from the IE, feel free to ping me on social and I'll tell you where it is. But number one is Sidecar.
My sister is obsessed with Sidecar. They always have, I can't do dairy, but they always have a non-dairy flavor or two. Mm-hmm. And they're always the best things I've ever had in my life. Yeah. Are you like just an old-fashioned glazed? Like, what's your...
No, I'm going to eat it all, girl.
Yeah, okay, good. Because I like a good maple. And no one likes maple.
Yes!
I like a maple.
We're best friends because maple is my jam. If you put good piece of bacon on maple... Maple is where it's at. I'm also I'm a fritter girl. I love apple fritters.
Oh, I love a fritter.
Anything. I love anything that's definitely going to be really.
Are we not human?
I love a fritter. So I really do. God, I want a donut now.
A good raised donut will take you right where you need to be.
Yeah.
Sidecar has a really good cinnamon roll. By the way,
ooh,
I think they only make them on Mondays.
I love a cinnamon roll too. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon rolls. Cinnamon rolls. The weight of my heart.
Yeah, but that's it. But yeah, so that's really it. But the podcast really is just a celebration of me basically getting on the mic. We talk our shit. We talk about what's going on in the world. We talk about what's happening around us and how we see it through our eyes as, you know, Black fat femme people. And when I say Black fat femme, I think some people think, okay, well, femme, you know, is it only femme men? Is it only femme women? Like, it really is just this idea of like embracing femininity. And I say this because for a very long time as a kid, I was very much adamant on not being feminine, especially in the queer community. There's this whole thing of like no fat, no. That's basically where this whole podcast came from. Having people in the community say no Black, no fat, no femme. And I just was kind of like, oh, well, how about I just do a podcast where we celebrate all three of those things?
I love that.
And so that's really what this podcast is. It's just really the celebration of everything that the queer community tells us not to be. We are, and we're thriving in that. And so it's like, haha, you know, you told me that I couldn't be Black, fat, or femme, and now I'm cashing a check. Thank you. Yes. Have a nice day. I would love to say I get paid to be gay, and it's the greatest feeling in the world. It really is. So
that's amazing. I love that. I really do.
Yeah.
To get paid for just being your authentic self.
How about those apples?
I know.
So
yeah. Wow. It was a pleasure to talk to you, John. I'm so glad you were on the show.
Yes, I too am so thankful to be here. It's kind of like, you know how like you, have you ever been to like, you've passed a restaurant and you've always been like, one day I want to go there to eat. One day I'm going to be able to get in there. That's what it feels like today. I've listened to this podcast for a while now. And it's just, it feels like, wow, I actually finally got to dine in. It's a beautiful feeling. This is
I
nice.
Love that. I love the EA restaurant. Thank you. You always have a reservation here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Always.
Oh, gosh. Always. I have the table next to the front door, not next to the restroom. It's nice. Oh, gosh. Just long as you clean your silverware.
On a good day. But thank you so much. Anna, is there anything else that we want to talk about?
No, I mean, go find BFF now. I believe when this drops, episode 2 will drop the next or tomorrow.
Hell
for you guys. And yeah, go find BFF. And John, where can people find you and follow you?
Well, you can also find me running in the wild through bushes, just like some other folks that I know, because this world's crazy. But no, ultimately, you can find me at www.drjohnpaul.com. You can also find me on all social media, Instagram, Twitter. Sometimes I use Facebook. I have not hit that age where Facebook is like my thing. I've been using LinkedIn a lot just to piss off a lot of recruiters. It's fun to see people fall apart over respectability politics. Being challenged. So I've been over at LinkedIn. But yeah, you can at Dr. John Paul, DrJohnPaul. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please, everyone, go follow John, listen to their podcast. A lovely human. But yeah, I'm going to wrap us out of here. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. This is Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I'm Shireen, Shirohiro on Instagram, and Shirohiro666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter, and at Selling Hosnier on Instagram. That's right, I'm selling my soul.
Yep, that's about right. Okay, bye.
Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.